What does James say? Well, he said temptations are all around us and they're abounding. And because temptation is so powerful, we need to flee to Christ. This morning, the best and the only real help is in Christ, the refuge for the tempted. Now look what James says in verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. Do you see what the root of temptation is? Temptation in and of itself is not wrong. It's not sinful to have temptations. It is part of our spiritual pilgrimage to be tempted. But we must examine what provokes, promotes, produces temptation in us. Look what James says in that 14th verse. But each of us is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Now what I read in that 14th verse, I went from the New King James to New American, which elongates the true meaning of these words. You notice it says, carried away and enticed by his own lust. The reason we're tempted is that our lusts are enticing us and baiting us, James says. Continuing, verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is accomplished, brings forth death. Now notice that James, he was the first New Testament pastor. He was the pastor of the first New Testament church. He led the first New Testament council of churches, the Jerusalem Council. He was our Lord Jesus Christ's earthly brother. Notice that James, a man of such stature, a man of such great impact on the early church, who wrote this book of James, notice what he says if you look back at verse 13. He doesn't say, let no one say if he is tempted. He says, don't say this when you're tempted. You see, temptation is a given. It's not a potential. It is what all of us face. So don't check out and say, hey, this last one I don't need. You know, I don't need to worry about that because that's not a problem with me. I don't struggle with temptation. If you don't struggle with temptation, then you're dead. Because those are the only ones that aren't tempted. The dead. You see, if you're alive and breathing this morning, James says, when you are tempted. God's word says temptation is inevitable. Temptation is inescapable. Temptation is going to follow us all the way through our earthly lives. But temptation is all based on what verse 14 says. We are tempted when we're drawn away and enticed by our lusts. So really, to flee to Christ as our refuge from temptation means we flee to Christ from our lusts. You see, those two are mutually exclusive. You can't flee toward lusts and flee to Christ as refuge. And you can't flee to Christ as refuge unless it's fleeing from lust. Either we're feeding our lusts, or we're fleeing from them. Which are you doing this morning? Are you feeding them? Let's look back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's just before James. It goes 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. So back up four books to 2 Timothy. And I want you to see in 2 Timothy chapter 2 a little bit about lust. Lust, the Greek word epithumia, means a super desire. Epi, that little preposition, panthumos, means it's an enhanced, it's a supercharged desire. You know, they recently deployed the old Camaro. A company picked it up and they supercharged the Camaro. I don't think any of us want one. It costs $427,000 for this new version. But it has got such a super huge engine. It's like they've really beefed it up. Well, any desire can get beefed up and becomes a lust. And that's what this word is. But look at what 2 Timothy 2:22 says. It says, lust is dreadful, dangerous, and deadly. Lust is surrounding us in various forms. It's planted within us, and it's either pursued for pleasure or fled from for righteousness. Listen carefully to what Paul says. Flee also youthful lusts. Now, immediately, all of us who don't feel youthful go, ha ha, that's not for me. I'm past that stage. Those youthful lusts, that's for those crazy kids that do all those things. That's not what the verse says. Flee is a present active imperative. It means constantly, from now on, I command you to be fleeing youthful lusts. You see, youthful lusts are not just in your youth. Youthful lusts, if not dealt with as a young person, grow bigger and bigger and bigger all the way through life. You talk to any person who is struggling in their old age with any kind of besetting sin, and you can trace a line back that besetting sin prompted by lust was fed continuously since their youth. You see, youthful lusts are the lusts we discover and start feeding when we're young, but they stay with us through life, and they grow. They're kind of like snapping turtles and other reptiles and everything else. They get a little bit bigger every year of their life. You know, those reptiles that grow every year, our lusts are reptilian. They get bigger and bigger and bigger unless they're starved and mortified, to use the biblical term. Well, Paul says, I command you to always flee youthful lusts. And it's not just a negative, but there's a positive. But be pursuing righteousness and faith and love and peace with those who call on the Lord. Note, he doesn't merely say when you're a youth to flee. No, he says youthful lusts, the lusts we nurture and feed as young people, are going to chase us through life. So we must all decide to flee lust no matter what our age. Because however large we grow those ravenous wolves of lust in our youth, that's how large they'll be as they chase us through life. Now, I want you to just sit back and think about that, because a lot of times we aren't afraid of our lusts. In fact, they provide us comfort and pleasure at times, so why would we fear them? And the reason we wouldn't fear them is we don't look at them the way God does. And so I just want you to think about lust with me for a moment. Why should we flee those lusts that tempt us to sin against God? Because the cost that they cost us is far more than we could ever imagine.